Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from his Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith on this Good Friday evening is taken from the Gospel of John. We'll read from chapter 19, verses 17 through 30. And he, Jesus, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Then many of the Jews read the title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, Do not write the King of the Jews, but he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said therefore among themselves, Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be. That the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold, your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, It is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. The wisest man who ever lived, King Solomon, once wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes, The end of a thing is better than its beginning. Don't we find that to be true so many times in life? Let me ask you, for example, what is better? Waking up at the crack of dawn on a morning when you know you have a very busy day ahead of you? Or the feeling you have that night when you lay your head on the pillow, satisfied from a long day of hard work? The satisfaction of getting it all finished and done. If you've ever run a long-distance race before, run in a marathon, you know that this saying from Solomon is definitely true. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. Yes, there's excitement at the beginning of a race. There's great excitement as you begin a race like that, but nothing beats the feeling you have when you finally cross that finish line. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. I even brought up that passage to the kids on Thursday for our morning devotion and asked them, Do you think that's true? Do you think it's true that the end of something is better than the beginning, especially when it comes to something that is challenging or difficult? You should have seen those hands shoot up, and I thought, what difficult things are these kids going through? And the worst they could come up with was things like cleaning their room, finishing that off, or getting through their math assignments. I think that was actually mentioned three times. They must be getting difficult math here at St. Stephen. If that is true in life, then, how much more true is it in death? The day of our birth and the day of our baptism into God's family is certainly a joyous occasion, a day filled with excitement. But think of all the hardships we must endure in this life. While we're here on this earth, we are born into a place that is broken. A place filled with sorrow and sin. A world that every day feels the effects of sin. And think of how much more glorious then our end will be than our beginning. The day when our Heavenly Father says to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." The day of our death will actually be the greatest day of our lives. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. This statement definitely holds true for Jesus' life as well. Remember back just a few short months ago when we celebrated Jesus' birth. Do you remember the joy and excitement you felt on Christmas Day? How about tonight? How about here on Good Friday evening as we celebrate? It's not the right word. Commemorate the death of our Savior? Obviously, the first thing we think about is the sadness associated with Jesus' death. Sadness when we think of all that he endured to earn our salvation, to pay for our sins. The darkness he hung in on that cross as God the Father forsook him, and Jesus endured literally hell for us to pay for our sins. But in the midst of that sadness, there is also great joy on Good Friday. That's why we call this day good. There is actually greater joy today for our souls than there was at his birth. At Jesus' birth, after all, he had so much left to accomplish, so many temptations to withstand, so many prophecies yet to fulfill, so many of God's laws to keep, and so much pressure to accomplish it all perfectly. Literally, the fate of the human race for all times rested on the shoulders of this little baby boy, born in a small town in the little region of Judea. But now, when Jesus spoke these words, these powerful words of his powerful passion, "It is finished," it was all over. John tells us Jesus knew that all things were now accomplished. Verse 28 of our text. What a relief. You can almost hear Jesus' relief as he says those words. "It is finished." However, these weren't just words of relief from Jesus after a job well done. They weren't just the words of an exhausted man who had done everything he needed to do and was about to finally, in peace, give up his life. No, it was more than that. These words were also a victorious shout. "It is finished." These were some of the most powerful words, if not the most powerful words, ever spoken. Why were they so powerful? Well, first of all, just think of what was finished by Jesus and his death on the cross. God's plan of salvation did not start with the powerful words that were spoken at Jesus' birth. Those powerful words of the angels, "There was born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." God's plan of salvation didn't even start with the powerful words that the prophets spoke concerning Jesus' work of salvation. Words from Isaiah that we read this evening. "And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." God's plan of salvation didn't even start with the very first words ever spoken in time. "Let there be." No, God's plan of salvation for all mankind began in eternity. From eternity, God knew that mankind would fall. He knew that mankind would need his Son, our Savior. And from eternity, from before time even began, God knew that you and I would be born sinful, lost, and in need of a Savior as well. God also knew from eternity that he wanted you and me. He wanted us to be his very own. He wanted to make us his children, his sons and daughters. And so he chose us in his Son Jesus and made us his own, his sons and daughters, through faith in Christ. Well, how do we know all that? How do we know that if it's something that God had determined from before time began, from eternity? You weren't there. I wasn't there. We know it because God himself tells us. 2 Timothy 1:9. God has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. That plan, that eternal plan, that plan that started before the world began, was now finished at the moment of Jesus' death. Thousands of years of promises and prophecies of the redemptive work of the coming Savior. It is finished. The perfect fulfillment of all of God's laws on behalf of all people, people who could never keep them. It is finished. The insults, the wounds, the stripes inflicted on Jesus to bring us our healing. It is finished. The very precious blood of God Himself, given and shed for us and for the sins of the whole world. It is finished. The full and complete punishment for all sins. Hell itself endured for us. The abandonment of God the Father taken for us. It is finished. Forgiveness and eternal life purchased and won for all people, for all time. It is finished. These powerful words of Jesus spoken on that horrible cross are also wonderful words of comfort to all of us. Especially when Satan comes and tries to put those thoughts of doubt, when he tries to accuse us and put some worry into our hearts and minds. You must have to do something to make up for all those horrible sins that you've committed. God can't possibly be pleased with you. I know what you've done. I know the things that you've committed. Well, Jesus' victorious shout silences Satan's accusations. All of our doubts and all of our fears are put to rest. And we have the certainty of our salvation. In Jesus' words, it is finished. Cling to those words and cling to that cross. Listen to that truth and hear that cry of victory. There is nothing left to do to secure your salvation or mine. It's all been done. It's all been done by the one, the only one who could ever do it. It's all been done by Jesus, the only one who could truly say, "It is finished." Yes, Good Friday is a time for us to stand at the foot of Jesus' cross in sorrow over our sins, in repentance, because our sins were what caused him to be nailed there, just as surely as the Roman soldiers who put those nails in his hands and his feet. But it's also a time to gaze at our crucified Savior in wonder over his great love and rejoice in the salvation that was finished for us there. Even though Jesus finished his work of redemption, taking away the sins of all people for all time on that cross on Good Friday, we also rejoice that on Good Friday, Jesus wasn't finished. His story does not end there. It didn't end with his death. It didn't end with his burial. Because of a few more very powerful words, which we will hear in a few days on Easter Sunday morning, he is risen. Our stories won't end at our death either. Our death will actually be the day that we experience and inherit true life, everlasting life. And then, because of Jesus' completely finished work, we too will know fully and truly for ourselves the end of a thing is better than the beginning. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.